Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody. It is Saturday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Back for our weekly Steelers mock draft tracker video with Brian Bacco, our Steelers insider. Brian, how are you?
Doing well, Adam. How are you?
Pretty well. This is, again, we're in April now officially. It's the teeth of mock draft season. Lots of multi-round mocks, lots of new names. Maybe we haven't been talking about for the last couple of months because the mocks have been focused mostly on the first round. Now things are getting a little bit deeper, a little bit more fleshed out. So I'm excited to get into some depth prospects with you, Brian. I'm also excited to talk about some of these tackles, some of these centers, some different names rising to the top this week. Tyleese Fuaga, Graham Barton were a couple of names that we've talked about early in the process but haven't talked about in a few weeks. So I'm excited to get back into them with you. Before we do, just want to thank our primary sponsor for this episode and every episode of the Steelers Mock Draft Tracker video, Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. I mentioned it at the top, Ryan. One of our favorites, Lance Zierlein. I use him every week in his scouting, and he doesn't just do mock drafts. He does draft profiles on so many players in the draft. And he mocked Fuaga to the Steelers this week at number 20. I was a little surprised to see that. He's been going early in most mocks that I've looked at. But, you know, there's a lot to like about him, especially, I think, compared to and Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, some of these more unpolished prospects. He seems more plug-and-play ready to me, Brian. If he's there, is he a guy you're running to the podium to draft if you're the Steelers?
Not necessarily. I don't think I'd put him above a lot of the usual suspects on the show, Amarius Mims, J.C. Latham, a couple other right tackles, and even Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. I might fill my center need before I go with somebody like Fuaga. I don't think he's a bad player at all. I think he could be really good. I mean, like you said, somebody who, by all accounts, would be ready and able to step into right tackle for the Steelers because that's what he did at Oregon State. You know, Taliesa Fuaga is somebody who's got some connections with current Steeler Isaac Seumalo, another Oregon State product. And he's looked at sort of similarly, I think, as far as being a technician, somebody who's going to have a pretty high floor, but I just feel like the Steelers tend to look for a higher ceiling in guys, and at least in the first round. Now, in a scenario where, you know, Mims and Latham are off the board, and maybe even Jackson Powers Johnson too, I think it could come down to, you know, weighing the pros and cons of Fuaga or somebody like Troy Fautanu. Both were really good players in the Pac-12, but some questions about the, you know, physical attributes, length, and things of that nature.
Yeah, I can definitely see the other side of the argument in that, you know, I think that Mims has a lot of upside. He's a raw prospect. That doesn't mean he's a bad prospect, though. You know, I put Guyton in that category. I think there's a little less agreement on his stock than maybe a Mims, who's frequently been mocked to the Steelers at number 20. Would you put Fuaga ahead of Guyton, or how would you stack him up against some of these other later first round names?
Yeah, I guess I look at it as far as tiers of like, okay, these are the, you know, potential home runs that you can hit, Mims, Latham, and then, you know, the next tier down would be maybe the safer guys like Fuaga, Fautanu, and then I'd probably go into the third tier of, you know, a little bit of both. Somebody like Guyton, I would say, is in there. Kingsley Suamataya from BYU is somebody else who the O-line gurus out there in the draft world think he's got some upside, but, you know, maybe still needs some more polish to his game. So that's kind of how I would stack up the tackle class, just based on everything I've heard and seen thus far, and obviously the hay is in the barn for most of the pre-draft process, other than some of these 30 visits for the Steelers, of which Fuaga was one to this point, but also so was Mims, and I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to bring in guys like Latham, Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, maybe Troy Fa'utanu coming out from Washington on the West Coast there as well.
Yeah, I think Latham's the one that I like the most of the group that you mentioned, Brian. I'm just not sure whether he'll be there anymore.
Yeah, than, I mean, he's an people. Interesting one because I think his tape is so good and he's got so many confident supporters in the scouting community. Like I just saw Chris Sims from NBC, who always does a nice job with his pre-draft rankings, as Latham as his number one overall offensive lineman, even above Joe Alt and Olu Fashanu, who are usually looked at as the consensus top two, but Latham just being 6'6", 340, throwing people around like ragdolls at Alabama. He didn't do any athletic testing at the combine or his pro day, so some people are wondering if he might not have done too well in those events, but at the same time, again, he might have teams who have already told him, look, we know what you can do. We don't need to see you run a 40. We don't need to see you broad jump as a right tackle. We know you can play. You're probably going top 10.
Let's talk about Graham Barton, Brian. He came up early in the process as a name. He's very versatile. He played most of his career Duke at tackle, but the belief is that he'll play inside in the NFL, either at center or guard. Very athletic. His testing really was kind of off the charts. That's why he's, I think, risen in a lot of people's eyes in recent weeks. I think that Kendrick Green effect that you and I talked about in terms of concern about moving a guy into the center position like the Steelers tried to do with him, it seems like there's not a lot of concern in the scouting community about his ability to hold down that spot. How do you look at him as an option for the Steelers at center in the first round if Jackson Powers Johnson isn't there, and perhaps even compared to Jackson Powers Johnson as a guy who kind of seems to be moving into a 1B role here in the center market?
You mean Barton being 1B?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that. I think I'd be more likely to consider him as a round two target if you don't go with Jackson Powers Johnson in the first round. If you get a Latham or Mims to fall to you, or perhaps Fuaga, because there's just not much projection needed for him to slide right in there at right tackle. But yeah, Barton is interesting to me. I watched some of his pro day down at Duke because I don't think he was as active in like the Senior Bowl or anything like that previously in the process. And he does move really well. I think the comparison with Kendrick Green is a relevant one because it would be, again, like I said, somebody like Fuaga, you're not projecting much. He played right tackle at college. He'd probably come in here and play right tackle for you. And you'd kick Broderick Jones over to where he's most comfortable on the left side. But with Barton, he hasn't played center since 2020, I believe. After that season, when there were some injuries, Duke moved him to left tackle because, he could do that at the ACC level and have no problems. Obviously, he was really good and turned himself into a first-round candidate. And yet, Kendrick Green, he played, I think it was four starts that he had at center. So if you want to really dice it up, Barton technically has slightly more experience. But again, it was four seasons ago, and it'd be five by the time he gets here as a rookie. So, the other thing to keep in mind with that, it's almost a completely different scouting and coaching O-line regime from that 2021 Green draft to now. Adrian Clem was the O-line coach then, who I would think had some eye on developing Green or scouting him. He's gone, long gone. Pat Meyer being in there now and coming back for year three. Different GM, obviously, with Omar Khan, and probably more relevant assistant GM in Andy Weidel, who's an O-line, whisperer by trade as well, having played it his whole life and in college at Villanova. So they might have a little bit better feel for whether a guy like Barton can transition from college tackle to NFL center, and if so, how quickly he'd be able to do it.
See, guy, you mentioned day two. Is it kind of if he's still available in the 40s that maybe you start to think about maybe making a move to get him then move up and as opposed to waiting for maybe a guy like Zach Frazier, Cedric Van Pranzen, a name that's been talked about on the North Shore Drive this week. Because that's kind of where I'd probably be landing, Brian, is I pretty much agree in terms of the tackles situation. I think Jackson Powers Johnson I like a little bit more. I'm right there with you in terms of where I would value Graham Barton for the Steelers. The question is, would they go there to get him if they already have their tackle in the fold in the first round?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you're putting yourself in a position, if you're Omar Khan, where if you don't draft a center in the first, if you don't just say, hey, run it up to Jackson Powers Johnson, set it and forget it. It's just the simplest need for us right now. We'll worry about tackle and receiver Friday night. Then you are going to have to be kind of watching like a hawk what other teams are doing, who's jumping up, who could be considering center, whether it's Barton, Zach Frazier from WVU. I think between those two, that would be a very interesting, like to be a fly on the wall as the scouts talk about them inside the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. Who do they have ranked higher? Frazier, you know, he's a center through and through. Barton, maybe a better, overall athlete and just football player potentially, but is he as good of a fit to play the position where you have your biggest need on the offensive line? Or do you not worry about that as much? Are you more in the mold, the mind of, let's just get our best five and, we'll make it work positionally? That's what we have coaches for. So, I don't know that he'd be a trade up type of guy. And with all the, glowing reviews from his pro day, he may not make it out of round one. Barton's been high on the NFL radar for some time. I mean, I remember this time a year ago when people were looking ahead to the 2024 draft. His name was right up there because of how long he'd been a contributor and a starter at Duke, a first-team All-ACC guy 2 years in a row. So that's going to be one that if you don't get him at 20, you probably don't get him unless you trade up, and it would all depend on what they do with that 20th overall pick. Maybe there's a trade down scenario as well. I think that was bandied about on one of the other shows this week. I think Omar Khan and company are probably assessing all options in that regard. Maybe you can get a good tackle in center at say 26 and 40 versus 20 and 51 or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think that's a live option. We've seen the Steelers not be afraid to make moves in the order in recent years. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Brian, a few new receiver names this week. Keon Coleman from Florida State, I think previously of Michigan State, was mocked to the Steelers by Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News as a second-round pick. His athleticism really did not test well at the combine. He's got a nice frame. He's got nice ball skills. Can definitely make some acrobatic catches, but I think there's some perceived holes in his game elsewhere. How do you stack him up against some of these other names we've seen in some of these multi-round mocks the last couple of weeks, like Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, Malachi Corley, who I believe was on the Steelers visitor list, from Western Kentucky, and Roman Wilson from Michigan, a guy that's impressed a lot of people in Steelers land.
Yeah, so it's
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's great that you asked, because we'll have the next update of the final update of the Post-Gazette Steelers big board for the draft coming out, I think, next week at some point. And I expanded. I've been in charge of ranking the receivers this whole time from, the first time we did it pre-combine, I guess, to now. With pretty much all the data that we need in front of us. And, I initially just had a list of five receivers and he wasn't on it, but I've since expanded to 10 because the Steelers traded Deontay Johnson, opening obviously a much bigger hole there at that position for themselves. So they're going to have to cast a wider net and, almost certainly going to take one before round three is over. And I want to say I have Coleman slotting in at 6, and that doesn't account for the guys that just, the Steelers are not going to have a chance to take Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, probably not Rome Odunze or even Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. So I sort of tried to group the guys in the next category. And I had Coleman behind Adonai Mitchell from Texas, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, Roman Wilson from Michigan, Ricky Pearsall from Florida, and I believe Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky. So I think he's, like you said, I think he ran a 4.6 240. We know that that wasn't really his game in college either, being a speedy guy, but there's still going to be questions about, can you separate against NFL DBs consistently, or are you just going to have to rely on contested catches your entire career, which to his credit, he does well at 6'3 and a bigger body. He was a basketball player too at Michigan State. So he's got sort of that innate ability to box out and go up for rebounds, if you will. Some people have also projected him to maybe be a big slot receiver in the NFL. I think, you know, you need some level of wiggle to you to do that, but I don't think he'd be necessarily a bad pick, but I think he'd be more in the Steelers' range if he drops and they miss on some of those other guys who could be better complements to George Pickens at this point.
Speaking of guys that may drop a little bit further, Brian, we saw Brendan Rice, the son of Jerry Rice. He was at USC last season, popped up in a couple of mocks this week. Kind of a similar story, not the most athletic, but he's got a big body, knows how to use it. Are you betting on those bloodlines late on day two if the Steelers haven't already addressed the receiver position with some of these guys we've talked about? You know, if you're into that, you know, maybe second, third round pick and you haven't gotten a receiver yet, is he a guy that appeals to you, or how do you what's your perception of him?
He'd be sort of at the bottom of the list for me of guys that I feel like, okay, if the Steelers end up with him, he could be a day one starter, but I'd feel a lot more comfortable with all the receivers I just mentioned, along with Xavier Leggett, who's been in for a pre-draft visit, Xavier Worthy, the other Texas receiver who was just, I mean, freakishly fast at the combine, one of one now with his record setting time. He's obviously a much different player than a Keon Coleman or even a Brendan Rice, but just pound for pound, who could help you the most? You know, I have all those guys ahead of Rice, maybe even Devontae Walker from UNC, Troy Franklin from Oregon. I think I like them a little bit more. Jalen Polk from Washington seems a bit more polished. And Javon Baker from UCF has sort of been a sleeper for, I know Ria Fittipaldo's had him in his mock draft at times. So that is the beauty of this receivers class. And I think you saw it again with Wednesday's news of the Bills trading Stephon Diggs. I think that's yet another team in front office who's basically salivating over the chance to draft one, maybe even multiple receivers from this group. And like, look, we'll reset that position more or less with younger guys who are still talented and have a little less baggage right now than a Stephon Diggs, or a month ago, at least in the Steelers' case, in Deontay Johnson. So I think that's prevailing wisdom right now throughout the league. And guys like Rice, who even if they're closer to the 20th best receiver than the 10th best, I think they're still giving GMs and coaches confidence that, hey, 6'3", 190, 4.4-ish speed, productive in the Pac-12, you can work with that guy. He can probably contribute, if not be, you know, playing a lot of snaps from day one. One last little caveat that I will say, the Steelers and a guy like Rice, I think sometimes they do wonder, you know, you've played in the nice weather, you know, never had to worry about adverse conditions, catching the ball your entire life. He's from Arizona originally too. Obviously that didn't stop them from taking a Juju Smith-Schuster once upon a time, or even Pickens coming from the South. But I do think that's something that they consider in every prospect's evaluation.
Yeah. And I think we've talked, you know, I think it might've been more on the North Shore Drive, you know, Chris Carter pointing out that just generally, not even just receiver, the Steelers don't typically go after a whole lot of these West Coast prospects unless they feel really good about them. I think that changes in later rounds a little bit, you know, compared to the first round. But,
they said before, like, you know, guys with Michigan, Wisconsin on their resume. I mean, you've seen them do it in the 30s and 40s and the cold and the snow and that. You know, those conditions often lend themselves to more of that smash mouth football that you kind of see in the AFC North. So I'm not saying that, you know, you cross the state of California or Arizona off your list when looking at prospects. They've got their area scouts out there. Former Steelers special teams ace Chidi Awoma is one of those guys. But part of his job and the other scouts, Mark Bruner up in Washington, is, you know, you have to sort of write up in your report, hey, do we think this guy can translate to some of the gritty, ugly ball that we're going to be seeing in December and January out here in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Brian, we're going to get back into some depth tackle talk here in a second. Also, a little bit of edge talk, maybe a little bit of punting talk. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up-close and personal learning, a top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located on 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. A name I found interesting in the depths of some of these multi-round mocks this week, Brian, was Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, the tackle that's played opposite Joe Alt. Lance Zierlein actually likes him a fair amount, lists him as, you know, eventually he's going to be an average starter at tackle in the NFL. Is he a guy you look at as a real option to compete with Dan Moore Jr. if they don't go tackle in some of those earlier rounds and they don't get the Mims and the Fuagas and the Lathams of the world, and they do go later in the draft? I think my big concern is that there does seem to be a bit pretty steep drop off after those first round guys, and that there's not a ton of depth to this class. But maybe you've got a different evaluation on a guy like Fisher, and maybe he's someone you can chase. Is average? Let me ask the question this way, Brian: is average good enough for, you know, what the Steelers need to tackle? Are they just looking for a guy who's solid? Maybe he's not going to be a Pro Bowl guy like some of these guys we've been talking about. Maybe he's not going to have a 10-year career, but maybe he can fill your need for a period of 4 to 5 years and just be solid and reliable. Is that good enough for the Steelers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you're never going to have five Pro Bowlers across your entire front there. And I think, you know, right now part of the issue is Dan Moore is fine. He's serviceable. He's not getting guys killed back there, but is he really elevating what you're doing on offense, or, you know, is he somebody that you can upgrade over? I think for sure. And Blake Fisher to me is, yeah, I mean, if you don't get a tackle in round one, I'm starting to look at somebody like Fisher in round two, three. If he drops to the fourth, I think you'd be all over a guy who started that many games for Notre Dame at the position where, you know, you most likely need to fill a tackle spot because of Broderick Jones and how much you should want to get him back over to the left side. So yeah, I mean, Fisher, he's only a redshirt sophomore, I think. So it's not like he's one of those guys who stayed in school forever. I mean, he was a pretty good recruit, I believe, too, which tends to be the case when you're 6'6", 310, 34 3/8 arms. That's just about right in line with Dan Moore. So that length that teams covet in offensive tackles at the NFL level. Yeah, I think I see a lot of, you know, potential and upside in Fisher, even if he gets kind of overshadowed a bit by his own teammate in Joe Alt and then a lot of the other top tackles in this class. But for what the Steelers need, you know, he's going to get knocked down by, you know, evaluators and scouts because it's like, you know, we want somebody who can play left or right. For the Steelers, they're in a position where they don't necessarily need somebody who's you know, capable or needs to come in and play the left side right away, which maybe Fisher could, but if he's most comfortable at right after doing that the last couple seasons, then perfect. You can have the killer bees, Broderick and Blake, and Dan Moore can become the swing tackle or, you know, fight for a job if he's not good enough to do it on the right side.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a different conversation if Dan Moore was a guy they felt confident in at right tackle. You know, it might be the same conversation if he's fine and you can plug him in there. I think the concern is that, you know, people think that he does not play as well on the right as the left, and he's not particularly great on the left side either. So that's where the concern comes in. So I'll be curious to see if they don't go tackle in the first round. I think Blake Fisher jumps kind of close to the top of my list of people that you might expect to see the Steelers go and grab. Brian, another intriguing name from Vinny Iyer of the Sporting News this week, Austin Booker, he had the Steelers going to in the third round. Very raw guy. I think he only had basically his last season at Kansas in terms of experience. But Lance Zierlein compares him to Max Crosby. Is that a pick you consider, even though that's a position of depth? The Steelers have T.J. Watt. They have Alex Highsmith. They have Nick Herbig. You're feeling pretty good about that group. If you add Booker, I think it adds options for you in terms of, you know, maybe you can move on from an Alex Highsmith and trade him and add some draft capital while, you know, staying solid at that position. What's your read on a guy like Austin Booker and whether you'd be interested in him late on day two?
No, I don't think that's really a realistic thing for the Steelers to consider. I think there are plenty other you know, areas of need to improve on the current roster to help you win in 2024 before you start looking at a tantalizing edge rusher prospect who, I mean, yeah, somebody is going to fall in love with the, you know, the small sample size on him, but the athleticism and the potential. And I just don't think that the Steelers would go to the edge position. You know, maybe they love Austin Booker and they're going to, you know, say, screw our needs right now. He's such a good player. We can't pass him up and we have this bonus third rounder. But, you know, I think center, tackle, wide receiver, and then, you know, some combination of D-line or one of D-line, corner, inside linebacker would be the way to go there with all those picks on the first 2 days of the draft. I just think with Watt and Highsmith and, you know, let's not forget about Nick Herbig. He's no slouch. Wouldn't really be a sensible move or a good use of your draft capital to chase an edge rusher like Austin Booker, even if to this mock draft guy's point, maybe he looks like a Steeler and somebody who would look good coming off the edge in the black and gold.
Yeah, my eye is still on Darius Robinson if you go on the defensive line and that type of thing. A guy like that.
That's the thing. Booker, I don't think, is going to be playing. Booker's not going to be playing five technique. He's 6'4 and a half, 240. Like, that's just – he's an outside linebacker through and through in the Steelers scheme. Robinson has the potential and the frame and everything to actually play that quote-unquote defensive end position. So, no, this is a non-starter for me.
Brian, I think this next one is going to be a bit of a non-starter too. Torrey Taylor, the punter from Iowa, he came up in two multi-round mock drafts this week. The Steelers signed Cameron Johnson. I believe Torrey Taylor was in one of Ray Fittipaldi's early mock drafts, but they've signed Cameron Johnson, and not just like as like a tryout. Like, he's got a 3-year contract with the Steelers. There's no chance in your mind that they go out and get the best punter in this draft to compete. But there's picks out there still for him. So I figured I'd ask.
No, I don't know if these pickers are just forgetting to update their fifth, sixth, seventh round picks for teams. But yeah, I mean, they signed Cameron Johnston to a 3-year deal. I think Mike Tomlin called him the bell of the ball as far as punting options this offseason in free agency. So no, you're not going to throw away even a late round pick on a punter. I'm sorry. That's going to be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I think Torrey Taylor is going to have a good NFL career, but I think the Steelers have already kind of made their decision and didn't want to get, you know, there's going to be other teams that I think want Torrey Taylor, and you don't want to get hung out to dry if you're not in the right position to catch him. So I think they made the right move there. Good luck to Torrey Taylor, but probably not coming to Pittsburgh. Brian,
the names of two of my sister-in-law, Torrey and Taylor. I think I may have mentioned that on the show before, so.
Well, that is something to consider NFL.
Quite teams. A fun fact. I have three sisters-in-laws, and two of them are Torrey and Taylor. So go figure.
So keep an eye on where Torrey Taylor ends up.
Brian, one of them's a Browns fan, so maybe he'll end up in Cleveland. I don't know what's going on with their punters.
Yeah, he may end up closer to home than we expect. Do you have any final thoughts on the week in mock drafts, Brian? Any lists and things that we didn't name here this week that caught your eye?
Oh man. Well, I just know that, you know, we're getting into the last, you know, less than 20 days now until the draft. How silly do we want to get with some of these scenarios, like Brock Bowers to the Steelers in round one? Are we ready for that conversation? Are we bored enough yet to have that conversation, or are we not quite there in the Arthur Smith, two tight end offense? But no, I don't think he's realistically going to fall to that point. I am going to be coming out within the next couple of weeks with my annual best case and worst case first round mock drafts for the Steelers, which always take you right up until the Steelers pick. It's not me trying to project what the other 19 picks are going to be. It's just a thought exercise of what if every team makes the move that's not unrealistic in their best interest, but would be the worst possible move for the Steelers, you know, taking away their positions of need, or the best possible move for the Steelers, you know, keeping the depth up at positions where they've been, you know, pounding the pavement on prospects. So like for instance, worst case scenario, all the tackles and wide receivers are going off the board early. Best case scenario, edge rushers are flying off the board. Quarterbacks are flying off the board and people are falling right into the Steelers' laps. So keep an eye out for that as we ramp up our draft coverage here within the next 3 weeks, I guess, almost till draft time.
Yeah, subscribe to postgazette.com. Tons of Steelers content over there right now. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We're going to have a lot more Steelers talk coming next week. Christopher Carter on the North Shore Drive. I'm sure Brian will be a guest there at some point. I'll be back on Thursday with Paul Zeiss, then next Saturday for the Steelers mock draft video. So plenty more on that, plenty more on the Buccos as they continue to get their season started. So sign up. And if you enjoyed this video, please like it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate your help there.
Ray Brian, I think he was a coward for not putting DJ Burns in his latest mock draft, the NC State big man. Why have we not seen him mock to the Steelers with that sixth round pick if they don't get a tackle early on?
Absolutely. I think he could fill that Darius Robinson role tomorrow, Brian.
Or put him at the five technique there at 6'7", 300, whatever his actual weight is. Hopefully I'll be looking forward to watching him throw it around tonight against Zach Edey and Purdue in the Final Four.
Yeah, going to be a lot of fun. Brian, thank you for joining me this week. We will talk to you again soon. Thanks to everyone for joining us. And like I said, subscribe.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.